What a joy it is to be able to worship with y'all. Would y'all go ahead and help me welcome the Regen Band and thank them? It's great to be with y'all tonight. My name is Ethan. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pornography, self-reliance, control, and this last week, placing my value off of what I do in my performance. It's really good to be with y'all. We're going to be continuing a series that we have been running through over the course of this year that we have called So Great a Salvation, looking at the true salvation that is offered to us in the gospel, and not one that just gives us a way out of hell into a ticket into heaven. It's something that impacts all of us who are in Christ today and forever. And so, it comes from a perspective, first and foremost, that every single one of us are sinful and rebellious enemies of God. A good God who took on flesh as Jesus Christ and lived the perfect life that none of us ever could, and died an atoning sacrificial death for us, rose to life 3 days later, walked out of the tomb, and is currently seated at the right hand of the throne of God and will return to bring about his eternal kingdom. And those of us who place our trust and faith in him now actually become heirs with him. And we are now God's children. That is the incredible news. And if you haven't placed your faith in this God, I would just ask you, if you see any one of us tonight with a name tag on, and if you would like to understand what it looks like to put your trust in this God, we would love to have that conversation with you. But tonight, as we are continuing the series, we're actually going to be focusing on something that applies to every single person in this room who is in Christ. It's something that we actually started last week, and it's known as sanctification. And we are continuing unpacking this sanctification that we gave a definition for, which I'll read. And it's God sets his people apart for himself while he transforms them to be more like Christ as they submit to his will. Last week, Dave kind of unpacked the first half of this definition and that we are definitively sanctified. We are set apart, and in this we are given a new purpose, a new people, and a new power. And tonight, I want to focus on the back half of this definition, that the process of being transformed as we submit to God's will. And I'm actually going to put sanctification in a little bit different language that I want y'all to track with me as we look at God's word here in a few moments. And it is, sanctification is the process of learning to live like a child of God, imitating him as he is our Father. And the way I kind of think about this, it reminds me of whenever I was growing up, something that my dad did for hours on end to serve our family is he would spend time in our garage. He was really great. He was a really great woodworker, and he actually made all of the cabinets in our kitchen. He made a bed frame for me at one point. He made built-in desk, a built-in closet, a built-in dresser into my room as well. There's a range of different things. And something that I love to do as I grew up is to go and spend time with him as he would work on all these different projects. And eventually he would invite me in, hey, would you like to sand? And like, okay, great. Or I could start to stain wood. At that age, he didn't let me actually mess with any of the saws or anything, so I don't have to worry about that. But it was this process that I'd love to spend time with my dad. And I got to actually learn how to woodwork without actually taking a part in it in the moment. Fast forward in college, I was part of an organization that they needed someone to help with woodworking. And little did I know that I actually had picked up so much by spending time with my dad and watching him and him kind of teaching me even as I was not actually doing it myself. Sanctification is actually very similar. It's not something that is we strive for on our own. And we're going to look at this in Philippians 2, specifically verses 12 and 13 tonight. I invite you to pull out your Bible if you have one with you, or pull it up on your phone. If not, we're going to put it up on the screen. And just to give a little bit of context, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Philippian church. And he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. Here are the parts that we're going to be focusing on. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So this is an aspect that we're actually going to be shifting of how we're looking at salvation. This aspect of progressive sanctification is something a little bit different as we've been focusing on things that God has been at work in. And progressive sanctification is something that God is at work in, but now we actually work with God. We work alongside him in this progressive sanctification. And so as I want to kind of unpack this passage a little bit, there's two things I want to look at. It's God's work and that's our work, so that we can better understand what God is responsible for and what it looks like to come alongside him and to respond to him out of obedience. And so the first point I want to share is out of what it says, that for it is God who works in you. And that point is God continuously works in us to make us more like Christ. If you want to know what the goal of sanctification is, what the direction is, it is to glorify God and become more like Jesus Christ. That is something that he is working in those who are in Christ. And the work that Christ accomplished 2,000 years ago did not actually stop there. He now actually works this about, shares or communicates all of his benefits in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if God has started something, he is going to be one who finishes it. And it is actually his good pleasure in doing so, as we saw at the end of this. Christ has accomplished your sanctification, and the Spirit is applying it to you. And if God ever purposes or wills something, we can be assured that he's going to bring it about. That's how faithful God is. Romans 6:4 puts perfectly this connection point of that we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You see that purpose there that God has given us? He did this in order that we too might walk in newness of life. Do you see that connection to Christ there, of what he did that now it applies to us? But you may ask yourself, what does it actually look like to walk in a newness of life? And that's the second component I want to look at from Philippians 2 tonight. And that is that we actively work with God by faith. Again, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. So two things I want to clarify with that verse. It says, for it is God who works in you. See that for? Within anything that we respond in, it is actually by faith. With an understanding that even if we do anything for or with God, it is actually him working in us. That's humbling, quite honestly. It's not like that we're bringing that much to the table. And then also another point of clarification I want to bring up is that, see how it says work out your own salvation? It very clearly, but I think we can also get a little confused with this. It does not say work for your salvation with fear and trembling. That is good news. It is working it out. The Greek actually is just one word. It's not two. But as we can best translate it, it is work out or bring about or to effect by labor or effort. And so this effort is actually a work of dependence on God, which means we can't just pick and choose exactly how he is going to work in us to become more like Christ. But there are ways that we can obey him and walk with him. In the same way, if I wanted to go outside and plant a tree, I could have the right soil, I could have the right conditions, the right water, but at the same time, I actually don't have the power to provide growth. In the same way, we depend on God to provide growth, but we might have responsibility within that, that he wants us to take part in him, part with in him. So what is this responsibility? Paul actually continues in Romans 6:11, and he says, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see that that is the work? That it's actually to consider yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ? I know that might be a little confusing. That it actually might be also that simple. That it comes from a deep belief of who God has made you before we ever understand of what it looks like to respond. And that we have to truly sit in and pray and depend and believe God at our deepest core that he has actually made us dead to sin and alive to Christ. Paul is saying here, do you realize who God has made you? act like it. It's not an act like it has a burden, but you actually get to. It is a privilege of doing so. And this is a twofold work that we actually can recognize and begin to learn. And so to be dead to sin, quite simply, is learning what it looks like to hate things that God hates. Like sin and disunity and honestly, everything that is outside of him, that is not of him, because he is the ultimate good. And since sin is still present currently in this world, we don't give in to the power of sin. We don't let it reign in our lives anymore. In the same way that Christ removed the power of sin in your lives and took you out of those shackles, we don't go back to it. That's part of our identity now. And then on the other side, to be alive to Christ is to learn to love what God loves. And we follow Christ and live, and he lives through us. And we get to come to know him more intimately, trust him, his spirit, his word, his people, get to understand that we actually get to serve God by loving others, which is actually something we're going to be able to unpack in the coming weeks. And this is a continual process. It's not just something that we do one day. It's a continual process that we learn to put sin to death and to give life to the spirit that is within us. And that you can't actually have one without the other. Those go together. You can't run away from sin just for its sake. You have to run away from sin to God. Otherwise, you're just running away from sin and you're likely going to go to another form of sin. That is what we do. But at the same time, as we are learning in times of temptation, you look for the way of escape that God has promised you. You consider at a deeper level it is that your heart is searching for something. And you ask God, what is it that you actually are providing? Or what is it that this actually leads to death in? Can you help me see that? Can you help me to believe you in that? And that you ask him to give you strength and you trust him in his character that he will provide. This is a call to holiness, yes, but it is a call to live out of the holiness that God is working in you. That's incredible news. Yes, he is called, and it may be work and effort, but he who calls is faithful. That's the character of the God that we get to love, serve, and worship. He's going to provide for everything we need for a life in godliness. But will you trust him? I know it might seem a little bit more, that might seem a little bit too simplistic. You might be saying to yourself, you don't know what I've done. I also haven't seen any growth at all. And quite honestly, I don't know what you've done. I don't know what growth has been going on in your life if you're a Christian. But I do know that God does know. And he sees you more clearly than you even see yourself. And he is with you more intimately than you could ever dare hope. And that his promises still hold true, whether you see it or not. He is at work. And again, will you believe him to the promises that he has given you to their fullest extent? I think that unbelief actually affects all of us at a much deeper level than we can usually take a look at. God's promises are clear. We struggle even in unbelief, but God says that we can even pray to him to ask, Lord, help me in my unbelief. I believe, but help me. I need your help, and he will respond. And as you are walking through Regen, if you've noticed, I've used the language around trust and believe. As you get into steps, those are the foundation steps that we see in steps 1, 2, and 3. And as you continue in steps 4 to 6, you have to build off of this foundation of trust and belief that as you unpack your deepest desires and see what it looks like to acknowledge sin with God and that you have sinned against him, you learn to hate it and to turn away from it to God. And then step 7, as you continue to learn what it looks like to follow Jesus, you see the process and benefits that all he offers you. In steps 10 and 11, you continually turn away from sin and walk in more intimacy with God. So I have a question. Does this work sound burdensome? Quite honestly, it did for me for such a long time. It still is something I can struggle with and revert back to a form of perfectionism. Remember how earlier I said that sanctification is the process of learning to live like a child of God, imitating him as he is our father, and the story I shared with you about my dad? The incredible part is I look back at that, and there is, yes, effort, and I had a part in it, but it was a joy to be able to spend time with and work with my dad. And quite honestly, I don't know what your relationship is like with your dad. Mine is honestly not great, but this is one of the fondest memories I can look back on. And there's a lot of ways I don't want to imitate my dad. He's not a terrible person, but he's also not perfect. But sanctification is this process that we get to imitate this loving, good, heavenly Father. He loves you. Will you want to work with him? Want to spend time with him? Learn what it looks like that he has purposed for you? This sanctification is a beautiful thing. It is the process. Yes, God has declared us righteous, but this is the process where he is making you righteous. We get to work with God as his promise is further played out. He doesn't leave us in our sin, in our pollution. He makes us clean and helps us to walk with him. He helps us in everything that we need. He has healed us and will continue to heal us in Christ Jesus. God's grace more than covers up for your sin. It actually makes up for it so that you can love and serve him and others. This is the sanctification where he transforms us into him alone be the glory. This is a beautiful thing that we get to take a part in. And I'm excited that you're actually going to be able to hear from a friend who serves in Regen as he gets to share the work that God has done in his life, how he's transformed him, how he's continuing to work in him and use him. Would you please welcome up my friend Steve?